steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safe from the storm withstand, fortress well secured by the Savior's name. Though the tempest rage and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark or flow. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore. With the storms all past forevermore, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Amen. Brother Canyon, would you open the service in a word of prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here today and that we could listen to your word be preached, and that you bless Pastor Jones during the service. Please bless the fellowship after the service, and please get everyone home safely after the service tonight. And do some amen.
Amen. If you would, just go a handful of pages backward to 134, My Anchor Holds. 134, My Anchor Holds. Though the anchor is wrong, all my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful for I know. While
troubles almost
shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds.
Amen.
All right. Well, good evening. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. If you need a pen or something, just raise your hand and we'll get you one. Or if you need the song, I think I got everybody, but if you do need a song, just let us know, raise your hand. So let's go through these announcements here real quick. Weekly church service times, Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Underneath that's a list of our soul winning times. We've got Saturday mornings at 10:30, meeting right here. Sunday afternoon at 2 with Brother David. Mondays at 6:30 with Brother Mauser. Wednesdays at 11 a.m. with Brother Briley. Thursdays about 6:30. Don't forget to call or text if you're going to go Thursday, 208-391-5323. So we finished off October with 10 salvations, which will be 88 year to date. Praise God for that. Back page, so this Sunday evening will be in 2 Samuel chapter number 21. And thanks to everybody who came out for the chili cook-off. It was a good time. For those of you who don't know, Miss Rachel Akers won. So I think she's wearing the apron, right? Was she wearing the apron? No. It's all good. All right, this Saturday, November 6th at 3 p.m. is the baby shower for baby Kara. And it is a potluck, so don't forget to bring a dish to share. Baby sprinkle for Miss Rachel will be November 14th. And let's see here. Well, we're in November now. All right, let's see here. This week's memory verse is John 15:11, which says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." We are a family-integrated church, and that means children and infants are always welcome in our services. There's a daddy baby room right over here to your left. The mother baby room is right across the hallway. It's got a new monitor. It's all set up. Should be good to go. Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent so it's not a distraction. And the very bottom line says, "Good enough becomes today's watchword and tomorrow's standard." So with that being said, we will have one more song before we receive the offering.
All right, at this time, we'll be singing our new chorus of the month, "Thank You, Lord." Thank you, Lord. Start on the first.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich.
Pray. Thank you so much, Lord, again, for allowing us to be able to meet here this evening. Just pray you bless the service, Lord. Bless the fellowship afterwards and continue to bless our church. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Prayer sheet. It's the same one as a couple weeks ago. If you don't have that, I think there's going to be new ones next week. But if you would, just follow along. We'll all bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Father God, we just come before you this evening to lift up our prayer requests and praises to your holy name, Lord. And Lord, we want to start off with our requests. We pray for the opportunity to preach to unsafe family, friends, and coworkers. We pray for all of our church families to stay healthy and safe and to always keep their sights on the things of God. We pray for more spiritual growth and maturity as a church throughout the year. We pray for Briley and Marissa's sister, that she can have her heart softened here in the gospel. Pray for Miss Patty, that her sister's heart can be softened here in the gospel. And we also pray for more people to follow up with. We also pray for more people in the community to want to become disciples and that more of our converts would visit church. Pray for the safety of our children and for them to continue to grow strong in the Lord. Pray for the expecting mothers in our church to stay in good health and that they can have healthy babies and safe deliveries. And we pray for like-minded churches to continue to grow and for our friends' churches to be protected from wicked people and evildoers. We pray for continued medical freedom with vaccines and COVID mandates. We also pray for Brother Skulk's safe travels to South Africa and for souls to be saved. We just pray for that trip altogether, Lord. And we pray for Steadfast Baptist Church to be relieved from their enemies. And we pray for Alexis's father to be healed. We also pray for my family back home in California and my grandmother. And we pray for the Box family. We pray for their safe travels. And we pray for Melissa. She has an unspoken prayer. And we also pray that her sister would have her heart softened here in the gospel. And we just also pray for Miss Rachel, that she'd have a safe delivery this month. And Father God, we also have praises to lift up to your name. Lord, we praise you for Lonnie and Miss Dawn's recovery. And we praise you for Brother Joe Maples, for God granting him an exemption and healing with his ear. And we praise you, Father God, for baby Aiden. And we praise you, Lord, for our church members being in good health. Praise you, Lord, for all of our new church members and family members we've been able to get saved and their continued growth in the Lord. And we praise you, Lord, for the freedom to continuously preach the gospel every week and for the Lord keeping us safe during the battles we fight. We also praise you for Alexis's father. He's also doing better, Lord. And we just thank you for that. And we just want to continue to pray for him through everything he's dealing with. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and when you get there, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible reads, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast,
that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Brother Victor, will you pray for us, please?
Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with this new day that you've created for us. And thank you for this church, Lord, for the Holy Bible. I say, fill Pastor Jones with the Holy Spirit, and you come forth to preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right. Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse number 20. It says this, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Go ahead and keep your place there, but go to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. So the title of the sermon this evening is The Sound of Scripture. The Sound of Scripture. And we're continuing on with the series, Voices in My Head. You should have a pretty good understanding of the voice of the flesh, the voice of the devil, and things of that nature. If you've missed those, go back and listen to them, because it's going to be a great help to you. And tonight, we're going to talk about the voice of God, okay? Now, obviously, there are a lot of people out there that say they hear messages from God, audible messages, or like he somehow takes over their volition, who they are, speaks to them. You're going to see tonight that is definitely not true in the New Testament era. So with that being said, I want to show you how important this is here and just kind of get right into teaching the subject. Look at verse number 8. So you're in Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse number 8. So this is right after the eyes of both Adam and Eve were opened. So right after they went woke, right? Look at what happens here, verse 8. It says, And they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The reason why I want to bring this up right away in the beginning is to show you the importance of what's going on here, the importance of the voice of God, which obviously you're going to see what that is in a moment. Now, what I see here is obviously the initial event that happened, okay? They sinned, and all of a sudden they hide themselves from the presence of God. What does that mean for us today? Well, it means that the old man, your old nature, wants to hide from God and is not going to want to receive truth, okay? So look at verse number 9. It says, And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Okay, and then kind of give you some insight to the tone of voice that you might hear inside of your head sometimes, you know, if it's a rhetorical question like this about something and your heart is smiting you, kind of like how David's heart smote him when he cut the skirt of Saul's garment off, right? That's a very applicable thing to what's going on here. Remember, God doesn't ask these questions because he doesn't know. He's trying to teach Adam a lesson here, obviously. Look at verse 10. It says, And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself, okay? We have to understand that our old nature wants to resist the voice of God. I'm going to show you how to make sure that that is very prevalent in your life, how to increase that as we go on. But look at verse number 11. It says, And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And so interesting, he says, who told thee? So who put the voice into your head to disobey me, okay? So again, I wanted to start with that to kind of give you just a little bit of a feel for the different tones that the Bible has, that God's voice has for us, because it's not always love, you know, joy and just coexist kind of things that you hear out in the community. Now go back to Revelation chapter 3, and we'll go ahead and move on. So very important, we need to realize that our old nature is going to want to resist hearing the word of God. This is why at some point during a sermon, you will tune out mentally. The Bible says, hey, studying is a weariness of the flesh. Studying anything's weariness of the flesh. But when it's the things of God, you have to literally fight yourself sometimes, no matter, you know, what I'm talking about, to actually pay attention the whole time. It doesn't matter. It's just the way it is. It's the battle that we have to face. And we have to learn how to overcome that and how to adapt with that until the last day when we get our new body and we no longer have to worry about that old man bugging us, okay? So let's get back into this here. Look at verse 20 again. It says this. Behold, Jesus is saying this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. So this is the big question. If any man hear my voice, okay? People will take you here and say, well, I heard the voice of God. I heard Jesus speak. And always ask this question. Did he have an accent? What is, you know, what's the distinction there in the voice, right? Because, like, you guys know my voice. If I'm out here, you know, running my mouth, you know, oh, that's Pastor out there talking. I know your guys' voice. Oh, that's Canyon talking. Oh, that's Jeff, you know. That's David. That's Mouser. You know, these guys are, I can tell who's around here, right? So what's the distinction in the voice if you really heard it? I think that's a fair question, right? I mean, that needs to be asked, okay? And we'll talk about that and answer that here in a moment. But he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door. Well, what in the world does that mean? And open the door. And I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. So he says, if any man hear my voice. So if we're willing to hear his voice, he says, and we're willing to open the door. Okay? So what does that imply? Do we have to be willing to hear that voice, right? Adam and Eve were willing to hide when they heard the voice, right? We have a tendency to want to do that too, especially when you're reading the Bible or you're hearing a message about something that you're doing wrong. You know, that old man's like, you know, I wish these pews were a little farther back here, right? You know, you have that natural tendency. So the idea here is that we want to be willing to hear this, okay? And you came to church this evening, obviously, because you're have a willingness to learn about the things of God, okay? Very important to understand as we study the sound of Scripture here. Look at verse 21. He says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, what does that mean there? He says, he that hath an ear, again, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Go to Hebrews chapter number 1. We're going to answer that. We're going to talk about what that means. Because obviously, well, everybody in here has got an ear, right? Hopefully you've got two of them and you're listening with both of them. But he says, if any man hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay. Now, quick question, something to think about before we start reading Hebrews chapter 1. Did the Spirit, or, yeah, okay, so you take the seven churches in Asia that John is writing to as he saw the vision, okay, he's writing this message. Did those seven churches, for example, let's just take Laodicea, it's the last one mentioned here in chapter 3. Did they hear the audible voice of Jesus Christ, or did they have to read the letter? That's right, they had to read it. Here's why. Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse number 1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Very interesting to understand here. He's explaining how God's voice, how God's message came to people in the Old Testament. He says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So he's saying, hey, there were many means, many avenues in which God used in the Old Testament to communicate to people. People had dreams. He used prophets. Look at verse 2. It says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Past tense. Spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So we need to understand that God has spoken to us past tense by his Son. Okay, obviously we know that that is Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does this look like? Well, just think about Moses, okay? God spoke with Moses. Eventually those things were written down, and that spoke to those future generations after Moses. I mean, God used all kinds of prophets. You know, he used Gad, Nathan during David's reign. I mean, you got Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, all these prophets. God communicated with them, and then they went and they audibly communicated with those people of their time, okay? And what we don't have today is that system. So if you're in a church service and somebody pops up and says, thus saith the Lord, you know, or perhaps they start rambling off in some gibberish, and then they go and proceed to go ahead and translate that for you, okay? We know that that's false.
Right.
Because God hath, what does it say in verse 2? Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So he's saying it was one way in the Old Testament, but it's this way now in these last days in the New Testament, okay? This is why when somebody says, well, God told me to buy that car. God, look, I had a guy one time tell me in a church, and this is no joke. He says, God told me he wants you, and he's pointing at me, he wants you to take a leap of faith and write a check for $5,000. I'm like, it couldn't have been God because I don't have $5,000. He's like, you got to take a leap of faith. He's like, that's an illustration. That's a picture of the money that you have in the bank. And he wants you to write that check. And I'm like, I don't think so. Okay, and I'm looking at Jessica. This definitely isn't the church. You know, I wasn't reading the Bible back then. I wasn't studying these things. But I knew in my heart. I heard the voice of God. I heard, I didn't hear nothing. But there was like a feeling like the Holy Spirit like, get out, this isn't right, abort, abort, you know what I mean? That sort of thing here. And that's why we say that, okay? You're not going to hear the audible voice, right? And it's definitely not going to be some situational thing. I've told you all the story about how when I went to visit John Hagee's church, they got a word from the Lord, okay? The Lord spoke that day through John Hagee's son. And he got up there, and guess what his message was about? It was about money. It's always about money. God told me he wants you to sow a seed of $5,000. It's like, can you sow a seed of 5 Bible verses to someone? I highly doubt that, okay? It's just ridiculous. But the key word there is hath, meaning past tense. We have the written word of God here. We have eternity past to eternity future. They didn't have that back then. So God had to use those diverse manners and those different ways to communicate the word of God to people. And he's saying, hey, you've all got the same message. That way you can rightly judge and you can understand and actually hear the voice of God. John chapter 1, verse 1, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Isn't that what it says? You know, and it always just blows my mind when people are like, well, why does it say he's the Word? Because he's the Word. And he's preserved that verse for us so that we can understand not only has he preserved his Word, but it's still speaking to us today. It means the same thing to me that it means to you. No scripture is of any private interpretation, which is a whole nother sermon that we'll have to go to in the future. And the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's what it says in verse 14. He dwelt among us. And that is the voice of God. That is what we need to make sure that we are listening to. Let's take a look here. So look again at verse number 22. So he says this. So we're answering this question, right? We're answering the question. It says in verse 21, actually back up to verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And obviously, how do we overcome? Being saved, right? John 6:40, by believing. That's the will of God. When we've done that, we have overcome the wicked one. We're preserved in Christ. We're saved forever. Verse 22, now we have the capability to actually hear and understand the voice of God. But look at verse 22. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So the Spirit is communicating a message unto these seven churches, which I believe are literal churches here in Revelation. And the question is, did they hear it audibly? Only if somebody read it, right? Only if somebody read that letter. Jesus didn't come down and go to each individual church and just start speaking to them. No, he used John. In fact, go to Revelation chapter number 1, and I'll prove that to you. Go to Revelation chapter number 1. So again, the question is, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That means that in today, in 2021, if you have an ear, if you have the willingness to hear what God wants to say, he says, listen to what the Spirit, capital S, saith unto the churches, which means not only did the message in Revelation 3 apply to those seven churches, but it also applies to us today. And we've talked about how it's interesting how we learn from reading the Bible, and the attitude that will be around in the last days is going to be primarily apathy regarding the things of God. People are just going to be like, oh, you've been saying these things for years, he hasn't come back yet, blah, 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 you know. And so that Laodicean type attitude is definitely very prevalent there. And so he's saying, hey, this isn't just for them, but it's for future generations. It's for all my children. It's for all believers to hear and to understand. So how did they hear the voice of God? How do we hear the voice of God today? You already know the answer, but look at verse number one. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So who heard this? Who saw these things? Who was in the midst of like this miracle taking place of actually getting the vision? Was it these seven churches or was it John? It was John, that's right. Verse number two, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So it's John is the one who got this revelation and was commanded to get it out to the churches, get it out as scripture, to pass these things on. And look what it says in verse number three. It says, blessed is he that readeth, and don't miss this, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So hearing the voice of God boils down to reading the word of God. Okay, that is the voice of God. And, you know, when you're going around, for example, let's say you're out soul winning and you're giving somebody the gospel and they have a question. Have you ever had like a Bible verse just come to you? One that maybe you don't even have memorized? Has that ever happened? That's the Holy Spirit, right? But how do you hear that voice? Is it like a distinct voice or is it your voice? It's your voice, right? So we're going to explain that. God uses that voice inside of you to communicate. The more Bible you know, the more of these letters, the more of this information that you have in your heart, the more that you're going to hear the voice of God, okay? He's not going to come to you, though, and be like, okay, tomorrow at this time, I want you to do this. Now, and please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God doesn't intervene in each and, you know, every one of our lives and set things up in certain ways. Of course, he does that. But regarding the voice of God, it is the Bible. It is scripture. This is why we fight so hard to defend the King James Bible. Because, I mean, think about it. If I was the devil, here's what I would do. I would definitely try to confuse the voice of God and come up with all these different versions of the, you know, what God said. That way people don't know what he said. Like, well, it could have been this, could have been that. Oh, the scholar knows. The Pope knows. You know, the Quorum of 12 Apostles over in Salt Lake City. Oh, they know, right? No, that's not true. Let him that hath an ear hear. That's the whole message. Do you have an ear? Do you have that spiritual knack to want to hear the voice of God? And the more that you develop that, the more Bible you put into you, the more you're going to hear that voice in different situations in your life. And guess what? When you've got this dominating you, that voice of the devil is going to flee pretty quick. And it's going to help keep that voice of your flesh beaten down on a daily basis, which is a fight. We'll get into it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we're going to get into how this works, the sound of scripture. We're going to get into the role of the Holy Spirit in this and learn some awesome truths here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 12. So again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says this. Paul, writing a letter to the Corinthians, says in verse number 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Okay, now we are in the world, we are not of the world. Okay, that we, now don't miss this, might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So when that guy comes to you and says, hey, sow a seed of $5,000, okay? It's like, wait a minute. My Bible tells me that we have free access, that we've been given these things by God for free. Yeah. He's not going to just open up my understanding based off of my bank account. That is false doctrine. That is not true. But he says that he has given us the Spirit, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. So God wants you to know these things. He wants his voice. He wants his information in your head, in your heart, to guide the actions of your daily life. This is his desire and what he wants. John chapter 14, you don't have to turn there. Verse 26, it says this. So Jesus talking about the Holy Ghost to come, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. This is why Jesus was constantly giving them information, constantly giving them teachings. And they were like, we don't understand. And he was just, you'll get it one day. You're going to understand it one day. And obviously the first application in here is the disciples were to get this. The Holy Ghost comes down and basically brings these things to their remembrance. They write letters. They start churches. They turn the world upside down. That's how it goes. But this is so important for us to understand here. The more Bible that you put inside of you, the more the Holy Ghost is going to use that information in your life to guide your actions, to help you live circumspectly like we are called to do. Look at verse number 13. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now keep your place there, but go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to come right back here, but go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. So again, did Jesus audibly communicate to the seven churches in Asia? No, he used scripture, okay? And when he's saying, when you have a willingness and you have that ear to want to hear that teaching and hear that truth, guess what? You're hearing the voice of God, okay? Now, when I'm up here, you know, just giving you an opinion or teaching something, that's not God like directly communicating through me. That's just a result of what I've studied and so on and so forth. Here, you got to be careful with this because a lot of churches, and I've even heard this in some Baptist churches, you know, that where they'll say like, look, if you get up to go to the bathroom during the service, you know, you're interrupting God. And it almost just sounds like, what are you saying here? Now, I have no doubt that God works through our services. We honor him. We love him. We respect his word. We hold his word as we are supposed to. Okay, but look, that's taking that thing a little too far when you say something like that. You know, like, oh, if you mess with the preacher, you're messing with God himself. Let's be careful with that because we're all flesh and bone in here. We've all got an old man. We've all got some issues and we've all got problems, okay? Look at verse number 15 here. So what did we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? It says, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is what the Bible tells us we are supposed to do. The Holy Ghost wants us to compare these things. So when you're saved, you have the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of you. He wants us to take these truths and compare them and to make sure that they fit and they line up. You're not going to have that happen if you go to a dispensational church. Okay, but they're going to do this type of thing to the Bible. They say they love these verses, all comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but they really don't. They just chop the Bible up, build walls around it, and say, no, this is for that era, this is for that era, and you're just going to have to live with it. It is what it is. That's what I said. Definitely not true. Look at verse 15 here. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we are supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto who? Unto God. Not to show ourselves approved unto some principal or some teacher or some school board or anything like that of that nature. The voice of God says, hey, we are to take what is written down here, believe it and compare it and teach it and to stand strong with it. Look at verse 16. It says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And so he's saying, hey, when you don't study this way, when you don't put that word of God into your mind, into your heart, into your soul, what's going to wind up happening is that you might start embracing vain babblings. And what do? They increase into more ungodliness, i.e. quenching the spirit, which is what we don't want. This is why Jesus said, hey, anyone who's got an ear, let him hear. right? And so you're going to see this connection as we study this out. Now you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You're going to see this connection between beating the flesh down and hearing more of the voice of God. It's just a fact. I'm going to prove it to you. So back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse number 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You have to understand that somebody who is not saved, they cannot receive, they cannot understand the things of God. Now, can they repeat an insight that they heard? Can they read a book by somebody who is saved and then teach that and make it sound like they're preaching? Of course. People can emulate all day long, but that doesn't mean that they themselves have the voice of God. It is very clear here, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Right? So you have to realize your natural man most days isn't going to want to hear the word of God. It's not going to want to read. You have to push yourself to do those things. And if you don't, guess what? You are going to have the minimal amount of the voice of God ringing in your head. And you're going to go through life and not be able to make the right decisions and do the right actions, all because simply you don't have the strength and the endurance to actually just fight and to actually read the Bible. You see, this is the problem with society today. We just want everything handed to us on a silver platter. But guess what? The Bible says, you better wake up. That's not how life goes. You need to do the hard work. You need to put in the work. It's easy to be saved, but it is hard to be a disciple. That's the way it is. But if you can discipline yourself to read, study, be about the Word of God, you know, it will change your life. That voice will ring in your head. When someone says something to you, and it's very crafty, and you get that gut feeling, you know, you're like, man, something's not right. You know, that's the Holy Spirit working on you and trying to help you learn, hey, there's a problem here. You need to do more research. You ought not to make a hasty decision with that individual, okay? Look at verse number 15. He says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So when you have the voice of God reigning in your life and you are about that, and that is your primary goal, your primary function, guess what? You're not worried about what other people are thinking. Because that suffices you. That new man starts to flourish and starts to grow. Look what he says. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. What do you have as a character trait to be able to judge all things? You have to have the rest of that verse there. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Right? You know, when people send us these stupid emails and these dumb text messages, blah, 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 and they just want to rail and threaten and cuss, I don't feel bad about that at all. In fact, I don't think anybody in here does. Why? Because we don't care. We're not going to allow the world to judge us. We're not going to allow them to do that, because as soon as we do that, they take our power. You're allowing them to quench the voice of God, and we can't have that. We cannot allow that to happen. Go to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. So a key component here of knowing the voice of God is comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You are saved. You have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. That means you have the ability to learn the voice of God, to have that ringing through your head on a daily basis. Now, Galatians chapter number 5 is going to give us some more insight on how to go about doing this, how to discern this, and how to make sure that we have this voice inside of our heads. Look at verse 22. The Bible says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now notice what that doesn't say. It doesn't say, but the fruit of the Christian is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now it should be, it can be. When you hear, you know, when someone's coming after you or someone just has a disagreement with you and you can feel yourself getting, you know, boiled up in the flesh, Chevy's better than Ford, Ford's better than Chevy, you know, whatever it is, right? And you feel that little bit of anger, you know, but you hear that still small voice also like, hey, be long-suffering. It's not that big of a deal, okay? That's God saying, hey, you know, read your Bible some more, calm down, walk away. It's not worth fighting over, okay? That's what he's saying here. You say, what does it sound like? It sounds like this. If you're indwelled by the Holy Ghost, you can expect feelings and an urging of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Now, people abuse these verses all the time and say, well, you know what? You need to be like that to the alphabet people. False doctrine. Again, These are people that are not rightly dividing the word of truth, and they are quenching the spirit. They are not hearing the voice of God. Because it's like, what about the voice of Genesis 19? What about the voice of Judges 19? What about the voice of Asa? What about the voice of Josiah? What about the voice of Jude? What about the voice of Revelation? I mean, it's from the beginning of the Bible to the very end that that is not the way we are supposed to operate. We do not have to welcome pedophiles in here. And the reason why I'm saying this is because people keep feeling the need to let me know that I'm wrong on this, and I'm sick of it. It's disgusting. You don't hear the voice of God. Okay, that's the problem. You don't have the voice of God if you're running around here saying, you're unloving. How dare you call people snowflakes? What are you going to do about it? Honestly, look at verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So again, this is a choice that you have to make on a daily basis. You're saved, you have the Spirit, but he says, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is daily choice. And again, we talk about this all the time because it is so important. It is hard. It is hard. And understanding that it's hard, understanding there's not just something wrong with you because you make mistakes every day, that can help you to overcome the battles that are going on in your mind. Because the enemy, as soon as you make a mistake, is right there. Hey, you just messed up. He wants to keep you living in the past and making you reminisce and focus on the past mistakes that you have made. That's his goal. That's what he wants. And when you do that, it's hard for you to hear the voice of God. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Obviously, these are things that are wrong that we shouldn't do. But go to John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read for you John 14, 17, which says this, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So you need to understand something. The world as a whole cannot receive spiritual truth. It's not going to happen. You know, I know that it's popular today and people want to just preach this stuff. Oh, you know, you shouldn't be so hard on these new evangelicals. You know, I'm sick of your ranting. You know, somebody sent me a message. I'm sick of your ranting about those new evangelicals. And I'm like, I have been out of that series now for like 4 or 5, 6 weeks, something like that. It's like that. You know what that tells me? My voice is ringing in your head because you keep hitting that play button, and I'm not forcing you to do that, you know, but it says even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. You know, they'll hear what we say, but they just can't receive it. They fight it. They resist it. And it says, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So you need to understand, you're saved. Once again, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have the capability to hear his words. And the way that we increase this is very obvious. It's more Bible. It's more voice. Look at verse number 13. You're in John chapter 16. Look at verse number 13. It says this, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Okay? Now, let's stop right there for a second. I've been to these charismatic type churches. I've spent time in them. I've had friends in them. We've all seen this and heard this. They'll often get up and say, the Holy Ghost says this about himself. You need to start spending more time to the Holy Ghost and stuff. And they'll like almost like regurgitate like that's what the Holy Ghost is telling them. Like the Holy Ghost is whispering inside of me because I'm special, I'm a super mega prophet, and he's saying you need to worship me, you need to spend time, go in your closet and just talk to the Holy Ghost alone. Don't talk to Jesus, don't talk to the Father, only the Holy Ghost. Okay? What is Jesus saying about that situation here? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. So this is key into understanding the voice of God. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So again, if it's not written down in this book, the Holy Ghost didn't say it. Oh, the Holy Ghost told me I need to give this to you. It's like, man, thanks for the gift. You know, I'll take it and run. But at the same time, I'm like, the Holy Ghost didn't tell you that. Okay? He did not tell you that. Because that's not written down in here. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Look at verse 14. He shall glorify me. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Look at that verse 14, beginning part of that verse. What does it say? He shall glorify me. Who is he? That's Jesus Christ. And what is he? It's the Word of God. So when someone gets up and says, in the original manuscripts, is that led by the Holy Ghost?
Nope.
No. Or someone says, hey, I was told this, or I saw in a dream y'all need to do this. Nope. He shall glorify me. Anytime a pastor, a so-called leader, downplays the Bible in any way, that is not the voice of God. That is not somebody who is being motivated or driven by God. Because the Holy Spirit will glorify him. He is the Word. No matter how unpopular his truths become, the Holy Spirit is going to glorify those truths and glorify all of that stuff. So this, you know, I heard of a meeting that took place. I haven't seen this yet, and I can't wait to see it. I heard of a meeting that took place here in the Treasure Valley. I guess it was a meeting for pastors. I'm confused why I wasn't invited. You know, I can't imagine what the problem is, but I'm going to invite myself and get a copy of this message here and take a look at it. But apparently the whole theme of this message was, you know, yes, Genesis 19 happened, but if people want to be referred to by different pronouns, we as God's people need to abide by that. And we need to respect that. Okay, that is not the voice of God.
Right.
That is not the Holy, that's a spirit, boy. You're hearing from a spirit, okay? It's a sodomite spirit. It ain't the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you that right now. And I can't wait to get my hands on that because I am going to raise absolute hell over that. That is not going to stand. We are going to fight that every step of the way. So let me figure out what I'm trying to talk about here. Go back to Galatians chapter number 5. Go back to Galatians chapter number 5, actually. And so again, let me read this for you while you turn there. Romans 8, 16, it says, the Spirit itself, talking about the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So again, we talked about one of the things that the devil will do, or his minions will do, or even our flesh will do sometimes, is try to convince you you're not saved. You know, because you did X, Y, Z, maybe you didn't believe properly, you know, whatever it is. But you know the gospel. You can repeat the gospel, and in your heart, you believe it, okay? The Bible says in Romans 8, 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So again, the application always goes back to the Word of God. When you're having that battle, get in this Word. Read John. Read these verses. Learn about these things and memorize verses. That is the best way to get that devil, to get that flesh pushed down or the devil out of your life, is to memorize verses that counteract the doubts that you're having, okay? Because the Bible says, hey, if you got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to desire the Word of God in that new man, because the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit, and that is going to give you comfort. But sometimes we just need to be still, right? Isn't that what it says in the Bible? Be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes we just get so busy. We've got headphones on. We've got all these things going on in our life. Sometimes, you know, you literally just need to take 5 minutes and meditate on a verse. You need to get away from people. You need to get away from social media. You need to get away from the distractions and just sit down and think just about the salvation verses. And that will clear all of that stuff up for you. I'm telling you, it works. Do it the next time you are under attack. And so let's continue on with this how-to part of the sermon here. Galatians 5, look at verse number 16. Galatians 5, 16 says this. So Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Again, going back to that daily battle, that fight that we all find ourselves in on a daily basis. Go to Ephesians now. Ephesians chapter number 5. And we will continue on here. We're getting close to being done. Ephesians 5, look at verse number 17. Look what it says here. Ephesians 5, 17. It says, wherefore, so Paul talking to the Ephesian church here, he says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So this is a command. We want to know what his will is. Obviously, his will is that people would be saved, and we understand that. But he does have a will for us individually. And it all goes back to the two E's, to edify one another and to evangelize. That's the twofold mission of a local New Testament church. So he says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Look at verse 18. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, okay? So when we have excess of, you know, alcohol, obviously you're going to be drunk. When we have excess pride, we're drunk on pride. When we have excess of whatever, lust, you know, of various things, lusting after the world's power, the materials, and those things tend to have us, then guess what? It's hard for us to be filled with the Spirit. And the key to hearing the voice of God, obviously it's, you know, being in the Word, but it's walking in the Spirit. It's realizing the more that I get filled with the Spirit, obviously you're indwelled with the Spirit when you're born again and you believe, but now you want to seek on a daily basis to be filled with the Spirit, because when you're filled with the Spirit, there's no room for anything else inside of you. Look at verse 19. Here's some good application on how we do this. Speaking to yourselves. There's that conversation again. You see that? Speaking to yourselves. You have to say, hey, I'm going to speak to myself in psalms and hymns. In spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So when you sing Psalm 11, we sing Psalm 139 and all these different things, you know, hey, that's righteous. That's Bible doctrine. That's God-breathed. That's God-endorsed. And I don't care who comes in here and gets offended. I'm going to put a light right above that snowflake placard up there. And you know, I'm considering having people sign a waiver. You know, look, read that. Do you understand what that means? Here you go. I'm not going to do that, but it is tempting. Anyways, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Look, remember this verse. When you are under spiritual attack and that conversation is raging and you're like, man, what's going on here? You need to come back to this verse. You need to crack them psalms open. Crack open your phone, you know, and play some hymns. You know, get that stuff into your heart, your mind, and your soul. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When was the last time, we're going to talk about this later on this month, but when was the last time you just stopped and thank God that you don't have terminal cancer? Did you know that, oh, woe is me, I got all these problems. You know, guess what? We all do, but it could be a whole lot worse. And we ought to thank God all the time that it's not worse. Oh, I'm sure it gets bad. We all find ourselves in these terrible, horrible situations. But you know what? It's true. It could always be worse. And when you're under attack, verse 19, verse 20, start to give thanks to God. And you know what? It will get better. These aren't suggestions. This isn't like a fortune cookie type thing. No, this is a guarantee. Do you believe the word of God? Do you have an ear to hear? And if you do, you can overcome that conversation in your head. You take control. Look, he's giving us the tools on how to do this. The question is, do you want to? Are you willing to? Because you're definitely able to. Look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We're going to go to two more places. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. So he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What do you think the next application is here? Church attendance. Being around God's people. Now, I get there are people out there, and there's literally, they're in other countries, or they're even parts of this country, and, you know, they're just not in the ideal situation to where they can move, to where they can get to a church. And so what I would say to you guys is thank God that you do have the internet, because that can be a resource. Right. You know, I thank God to all the people who have reached out to us for help. We've been able to help them through encouraging messages and just trying to counsel with people. That's a blessing. But that's what I'm talking about. That's where it's at. But if you have access to a body of believers, get in there and do some work. Be around God's people. This is key. This is crucial for maintaining that psychological warfare that is going on in every single one of our heads. Submitting yourselves one to another. It's kind of hard to do that when you forsake the gathering, right? Look at verse 24. Hebrews 10, look at verse 24, says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So again, points back to one of the two E's of the New Testament church, which is what? Edify, right? Kind of hard to do that when you've forsaken the manner of assembling ourselves together. Look at verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the person who says, I'm done, I'm just going to quit going to church, you know, I'm going to take the grace and run. You know what I would say to you? Prepare for extreme psychological warfare because it's coming and you're not going to have the tools to overcome and to deal with that. It's not going to happen. You can sit here all day. I'm tough. I watched a motivational speech by a Navy SEAL. I'm good to go. That will wear off before you even get out of your bedroom or before you even crawl out of your little basement. That's going to wear right off. When you get hit by the realities of life, guess what? That motivational video right out your head. What are you going to do? You're going to wear headphones everywhere and just keep playing motivational videos all day long? You know, hey, if something inspires you, good, but we talked about that on Sunday. You need to turn that into a discipline. You need to turn that into a long-term thing. Otherwise, you're doomed. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and we'll be done. So I would say this, not only is speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns crucial for hearing the voice of God, for battling psychological warfare, but obviously church attendance, being around God's people, not thinking more highly of yourselves than you ought. I don't need that. What I have going on is more important. I'll come back to that later on in my life. You have no idea what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, let alone at the end of your life. So again, attending church is crucial. And it's not because like I'm up here getting a direct message from God and he's telling me everything to say. No, it's because you need to learn. I will teach you things. I study the Bible very hard. You're saved. You know, hopefully our spirits bear witness together. And this can be an encouragement to you, right? It's encouraging to be in church around people who believe like you. Because when you go out there, hardly anybody believes like us. Hardly anybody believes like you. So let's wrap this thing up here. Verse number 12. Philippians 2, verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I can't emphasize this enough. It is so crucial. It is so important. So understanding. I'm so important that we understand, rather, that we need to be around each other, that we need to provoke one another to good works, that we need to exercise what we've been given. You need to work out that salvation. Now, Joyce Meyer and those types of idiots, they'll say, well, you need to work it out and prove that you're saved. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what Paul is talking about here in this letter to the Ephesians. He's saying, hey, go out and exercise that salvation muscle. Go get some Bible verses and go preach those to somebody and get them saved. That's working out your salvation. And do it with fear and trembling. Because when you don't do it in fear and trembling, guess what happens? That voice of the devil has an avenue to come in and be like, yeah, you're something special. You can get a lot of people saved. You're a big deal. So, hey, by the way, since you're such a big deal, and your flesh is over here like, oh, I mean, oh, yeah, that's right. Right? And so you've got these two problems now. And like, you are a big deal. You could be a big deal anywhere you go. Heck, you could be a big deal at work. Why don't you sign up to work Sunday? Right, and try to get that. And you know, and it just goes downhill from there. It's a nightmare. Verse 13, and we're done. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So again, the only way to meet this criteria here is to be willing to beat down that flesh. Fight that flesh every single day. When that alarm clock goes off on Sunday, when your boss says, hey, I'll give you triple time on Sunday to work, you tell him to go pack sand. Well, don't do that, but just be like, no, I'm good, okay? Sorry, I'm a little different, right? I got the old man too, okay? So, you get what I'm trying to say, though. The more you fight the flesh, the more the voice of God is going to reign in you. No Bible, no voice of God. You're going to be left with that conscience smiting you, which is what we're going to talk about next week, which is kind of a part two to this part six in our series. So we're going to go ahead and just leave it right there. And hopefully, the application, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, right? Reading the Word of God, standing up for those truths, no matter how hard they are, no matter how bad the world hates them, and coming to church, being around God's people. Look, don't forsake the gathering. The Bible warns that you will suffer consequences for doing that. It is not a maybe. It's not a, well, it's probably, no, it will happen. And look, I've seen it. If I've seen it once, I've seen it 100 times. It's very important. So let's stop right there. We'll bow our heads, have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for, again, just this truth. Lord, all the truth that you provide, everyone in here, I just pray you help us to use these things. Please bring these things to our remembrance, Lord, when we are facing that psychological warfare, especially from the enemy that is within us and around us and that we can't see, Lord. And obviously also in the world, Lord, those that just don't like what we are about and want to pester us at work and stuff, Lord, please help us to remember Galatians 5 and to be long-suffering and to try to continuously pray for these people, Lord, that they would eventually come around and get saved. And we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Well, if you would, please grab your songbooks one more time this evening and turn to Psalm 130. Song 130, yesterday, today, forever. On the first. Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still he loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and lame. Cheer the still the tempest, glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Thomas, all thy doubt will clear. Who let the loved disciple on his bosom rest? Bids thee still with love as tender lean upon his breast. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. He who mid the raging billows walked upon the sea, still can hush the wildest tempest as on Galilee. He who wept and prayed in anguish in Gethsemane, drinks with us each cup of trembling in our agony. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. And all the last, as of old he walked, he must with them to abide. So through all life's way he walketh ever near our side. Soon again shall we behold him, hasten, Lord, the day. But 'twill still be this same Jesus as he went away. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Amen. Brother Jeremiah, would you close us out in a word of prayer, please?
Dear Lord, thank you for this sermon. Thank you for this church. I pray that we just read the Bible more and study and not forsake